Tell me, how are you going to spend this Thanksgiving? What are you going to do? How many want to make this Thanksgiving the best ever? I'm going to talk with you a little while on how you can make this Thanksgiving the best ever. And it has to do with choices. Hey, how many know that it doesn't take some bad choices that make Thanksgiving not what it ought to be, but best Thanksgiving you can have? And speaking of being thankful, let me tell you what happened to me. I was preaching down at a church in Glenville, Georgia. Anybody know where Glenville is? It's down near Claxton, Georgia, about 3 hours from here. Calvary Baptist Church, Pastor Jerry Knight, and Deanna and I went on Monday night to support their camp meeting. We checked into this motel. It was a motel called the Cheerio Motel. I don't know why they called it Cheerio. Maybe they didn't have any Cheerios, you know, to eat, but anyway, it was all right. You know, it was about maybe 35 rooms or so. I mean, I didn't see any evidences of roaches crawling around. Not that that would bother me, but anyway, it would then, I'll assure you. But anyway, and didn't see any drug dealing going on, so we stayed there that night. And the time came for us to leave. Well, meanwhile, back here, there was a hurricane billowing up the coast. You're very familiar with the hurricane that just came through Michael. And so we were getting ready to check out on Tuesday and got all of our stuff ready, was heading back because of all of the threats of tornadoes and bad weather heading up toward Georgia, and got to the gas station. And I was there on the gas hand close to E. I only had a few dollars, that is cash money, in my pocket. And I reached in my pocket as I went into the store to get my debit card to help pay for some gas to get back home. Well, guess what? I couldn't find my debit card anywhere. I looked and looked and looked. I searched my pocket. I could not find it anywhere. And I said, I know I had it. I saw it in the motel. And here it is. As the storm is coming, the wind is blowing more, and I needed to get some. I'm starting to scramble through my luggage. I don't know if you've ever done that or not, but looking in all my pockets, and I said, I know I had it. Where is it? And I'm sitting there in the parking lot, and I'm pulled up to the gas pump, and I'm thinking, well, what am I going to do? Well, what am I going to do? Well, I'll tell you what I did. I said, Lord, you know where that card is. I don't know where it's at. And about that time, I said, well, you know what? I don't know what else to do. I think I'll go back to the motel. I drove back about 5 miles to the motel. I stopped at the front desk. I asked the man at the front desk, I said, by any chance, have you happened to have a debit card turned in to the office? He said, no, sir, we have not. I looked down the corridor of the motel, and I noticed the cleanup crew, the maid, had the cart pushing it about halfway through. It had already been to our room. I said to the owner, I said, do you mind if I go in our room just to check? He said, no, that's fine. So we walked into the room. I began to look everywhere under the bed, and I knew I had it, and I couldn't find it anywhere. And I came back out of the room, and I saw the pushing the buggy, the folks that were cleaning up the room. I said, well, do you mind if I just go down and ask them? He said, no, that's fine. We walked down there, and he had the people that were cleaning up the room. I said, well, I need to check in here. Is it all right if I check in here? I looked and looked, and there was a trash. The trash, it had Coke in it. It had banana peels in it. It had chewing gum and other stuff, you know, in the trash. And I said, well, I need to see if I can find this thing. And so I began to dig through the trash, pull the bags out one by one, and lo, I got to the very bottom of the trash. I saw a bag in there that kind of looked like some of the things we might have had in our room, like, for example, protein drink and Gatorade and water. And anyway, I got the bag out, the bottom of the trash can. My hands were filthy, and I didn't care. I was frantically looking for this. I needed it. And so I opened up the bag, and guess what? There was this card at the bottom of the bag. Well, when I found the card, I said, praise the Lord. I hugged the owner of the motel. He's looking at me like, is this guy strange or what? I began to shout right there in the parking lot. You know, he had one of them red dots right there, and I didn't care about that at all. And I said, praise the Lord. And you know what the Lord spoke to my heart about? He said, son, that was just like you. I found you in the trash can.
I dug down in the trash can. I pulled you up out of the trash and I wiped you off with my own blood and I gave you a home in heaven and I made you my child and I gave you hope and gave you joy unspeakable, full of glory. And I said, dear Lord, you're exactly right. I was just like that missing piece. And I thank you, Lord. I thank you for your goodness. I want to tell you something. I want to tell you something. Timeless truths for Thanksgiving. There's some timeless truths that I believe that you can make this Thanksgiving the best ever. Yes, what can I render unto the Lord for all of his benefits? Take your Bibles and turn with me, please, in the book today of Romans. Romans chapter 12. Paul the Apostle is none other than that human author, the Holy Spirit, impressed upon his heart by inspiring the written word of God. Romans chapter 12, turn there please, as we look today at this subject, timeless truths for Thanksgiving. Or you might want to put it this way, hanging tough when the times get rough. Hanging tough when the times get rough. And as we turn in our Bibles to the book of Romans chapter 12, I want to remind you this is a wonderful book, not only from practicality standpoint, but from a doctrinal standpoint as well. We come to chapter 12, that great chapter of the book of Romans. And we notice here as we progress through the text, before we read the text, first there's the presentation, then there's the transformation, and then there's the revelation. What do I mean by presentation? Paul says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, I urge you, brother, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Hey, let me ask you a question. Have you presented your body as a living sacrifice to the Lord? Not a dead sacrifice, a living sacrifice unto the Lord. And he said further, be not conformed to this world. Don't let the world mold you, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be metamorphosed, be changed by the renewing of your mind. There's power in the word. I said there's power in the word of God. It's the transforming agent by the Holy Spirit of God. And then he says, that you may prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. Now, as the Apostle Paul picks up his pen, led by the Holy Spirit, he begins to articulate and begins to write concerning our spiritual gifts and how they should function in the church. And by the way, I need the church, you need the church, whether you realize it or not. And he says, these are gifts that God has given us. Tell me, how are you serving the Lord these days with those gifts God has given you? We'll be held accountable at the judgment seat of Christ. But anyway, he says, and I like to call them motivational gifts. I said all that to bring us to our text today. It's one verse, one verse, one verse. Romans 12, verse 12. Stand as we read the wonderful word of God. If you'd like to, Romans 12, 12. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. One verse. Look at it. Verse 12. Rejoicing in hope. Say that with me. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, and continuing instant in prayer. Rejoicing in hope. Say it one more time with me. Rejoicing in hope. Now, let's say patient in tribulation. Patient in tribulation. One more time. Patient in tribulation, and then continuing instant in prayer. Let's say that together. Continuing instant in prayer. This is the word of God. I believe the Lord is going to speak to you today. If you've got wax out of your ear, and if your heart's not dull, and if your heart's not hard, God is going to speak to you. So just pray for God to get the wax out of your ear and give you attentiveness as we hear the word of God and absolutely watch the Lord change your life and change your family this Thanksgiving for his glory. Father, again, I know I'm nothing, but I know you're everything. I thank you that you love me in spite of myself. I thank you you brought me up like that piece of trash and that debit card. Lord, you did that in my life. I don't know about everybody here, Father, but I got a feeling there's some here. You did the exact same thing for them. And therefore, Lord, I owe you my whole life. And the church said, and so God, I pray you'll take us now. You'll mold us now. You'll forgive us now. Forgive me. Cleanse me. And dear Father, help us to love you with all of our heart, soul, and mind. Help us to be sold out. Oh, blessed Lord,
as the day approaches nearer, when you shall split the eastern skies, or when we shall taste death and yet be translated from absent from the body, present with you, I need you now. I thank you now for your word, your power, your glory, and may you have the preeminence in this place. And God, we thank you for the people that have gathered. We're hungry and thirsty for you, and we just commit the time to you and pray, dear Lord, that you'll speak to our heart. Change us, Father God. Get us out of the rut and bring us into the light and into victory in Jesus. And God will give you the glory for it. Save the lost, revive the saved. Dear Lord, I know there's a lot of people here today that need revival. Lord, personal revival. And God, we all need, our Lord, a restoration in our hearts toward our families and toward you, that we might fulfill your calling and your purpose in our life. And Lord, we just yield to you. Take the throne of our heart. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name, the name above every other name. Amen and amen and amen. You may be seated. Here's where we're going today. Timeless truths for Thanksgiving Day. And here's where we're going. I believe there are at least three timeless truths from this one text. Notice we're using a textual message today, namely chapter 12, verse 12. That's the only text we're going to use. But I believe you're going to see before it's over with, God is going to speak to you about the best Thanksgiving ever. For example, we notice here, if you're like those who like to take notes and such, if you'll notice in chapter number 12, in Romans chapter 12, if you like to take notes, you'll notice there are three timeless truths. Number one, will you come to the table this Thanksgiving, and will you come to the table and make a, what's this, and make a blank to blank because of blank. What do you think that is? Will you come to the table this Thanksgiving and make a, somebody help me out. Make a what? Make a what? How about make a choice to, help me out, choice to do what? You got it. A choice to rejoice. Will you come to the Thanksgiving table Thursday? And even today, will you make a choice to rejoice? Why? Because of, notice chapter 12, verse 12. What does chapter 12, verse 12 say? What does the first part of it say? Rejoice again, what? Hope, you got it. I will come to the table and make a choice to rejoice because of hope. That's number one. Number two, will you not only come to the table, but will you sit at the table this Thanksgiving? Now, it's going to be hard to guess this one. And E, because when the going gets tough, the tough get going. Very good. That should be a question mark. I corrected my original one that I didn't have time to correct it. This morning, it should be a question mark after that. Y'all excuse me for that typographical error. Anyway, if the type A personality, will you sit down at the table and endure? Endure. Where did I get that word endure? What's the second part of Romans 12, 12? Look at it and read it with me. Rejoicing in hope, and what's the next part say? Patient in what? That's where I get the word endure. That's what the word endure means. Patient. Hupomone. All right, will you not only come to the table and make a choice to rejoice, don't grumble over your food. I mean, you know, don't complain about everything going wrong. Boy, that's easy. Anybody can do that. Can I get an amen? And that's the fact some of us have been doing that. We've been whining and complaining about everything instead of praising the Lord. Let's have a change of attitude today. Let's purpose in our heart, God, I've been complaining, I've been whining, I've been looking at all the negative things. God, I need a change today. All right, number two, will you sit down at the table and endure, because when the going gets tough, the tough get going. I find that in chapter 12, verse 12. But the third timeless truth, as we'll see this morning, is not only will you come to the table and make a choice to rejoice, I trust you'll do this on Thanksgiving, all right? Number two, will you sit down at the table and endure, because when the going gets tough, the tough get going. Number three, will you bow your head and make it a time of prayer because of care? All right, you're good and guessing. Why, where did I get that prayer from? Look at Romans 6, 12, 12. What do you see? Rejoicing in what? Hope. Rejoicing in hope, and then what's the second part?
Sit down and the table endure because,
time out, I've got some questions. I see some ladies taking notes. What, y'all need some help? That second one, thank you. It's tough. When the going gets tough, the tough get going. Somebody say amen. I want you to get it. I want you to get it. I want you to get it. All right, you got it? Now, number three, will you bow your head and make it a time of prayer because of care? Now, where do I get that from? Romans 12, 12. And what does Romans 12, 12 say? Excuse me for stepping in front of you. What does Romans 12, 12 say? Rejoicing in hope. And what else? Patient in tribulation. Continue in prayer. See, I'm not getting it just from outer space. This is right there in the text, all right? Amen. Right there in the text. Excuse me for stepping in front of you, Patsy. By the way, we're glad Patsy's back. Yeah, we're glad she's back. Praise the Lord. We missed you when you were gone. I miss you when you're gone. All right, here's where we're going in the text. Number one, will you come to the table and do what? How many are going to do that this Thanksgiving? Now look, you're not going to do it automatically. You got to work at it. You got to work at it. You're not going to just sit down and say, thank you, God, because there's going to be a lot of problems going on. There's going to be a lot of things going on, and it's going to be easy to come to the table after everything's gone and the television's going and the ball games are, or whatever you got going on. Your family's talking, even if you don't have a television on. Your family's going to be talking. Are you going to be distracted? It's easy to come to the table, and you don't really get focused and have the kind of attitude of gratitude. That's why you got to make a purpose, to make a choice to rejoice. All right, let's develop that thought. Let's develop that thought. If I can get this thing here to turn, let me help me out there, Brother Garrett. For some reason, I may not be. Flip it to the next channel, please. I don't know why it's not operating, but praise the Lord. I'm going to rejoice in the Lord always. Amen. And rejoice in the Lord always. Can you change it to the next slide? Time out. All right, Romans 12, verse 12. Romans 12, verse 12. And Romans 12, 12 says, will you come to the table and make a choice to rejoice? Make a choice to rejoice. All righty. Make a choice to rejoice. There it is right there. I'll go back to that. There it is right there. Thank you, sir. Let's praise the Lord for somebody operating the sound system. Amen. I'm telling you, everybody's important. Everybody's important in New Rocky Creek. Can I get a witness? Everybody's important. Every Sunday school teacher's important. Every nursery worker's important. Every person that's singing, every person is important in New Rock. I didn't plan to say that, but God just had me to say that, all right? You're important to God, and you're important to the church. And we love you. Wait. So, rejoicing in hope. Now, if you'll notice the word here, hope, it's the Greek word elpis. And the word elpis doesn't mean maybe so, and I went ahead and did the homework for you to break down the word study, we call it etymology. Elpis means confident expectation. Say that with me. Confident expectation. And so, will we come to the table this Thanksgiving, and will we make a choice to, can y'all hear me in the back? Can y'all hear me in the back, Martha? Can you hear me in the back? Can you hear me in the back? I know sometimes there's echoing going on in the church, and the devil will try to do everything to keep us from hearing the word of God. I've noticed that you can hear a lot better on the front than you can in the back. Anyway, whatever that's worth. But I think it's easier to hear better in the front. But anyway, whatever. If you can hear, that's all that matters. But you know what, beloved? There's hope now, but there's also hope in the future. There's hope in the future. First, there's hope now. But you know what? I'll tell you something. I think that we've got... Have you ever had a knot in your shoe? You ever had a knot? Have you ever had a knot in your shoe? You've had some knots in your shoes, haven't you? There's some knots we need to untie this morning. There's some knots we need to untie this morning. Because some knots are hard to get out. You can't get some knots out. There's some that are, you just got to cut them out. You know what I'm talking about? You just got to cut them out. You can't get them out. And so what kind of knots do you need to untie today? If we're going to sit down at the table, and if we're going to make a choice to rejoice, this Thanksgiving Day, there's some knots that we've got to take out. We've got to untie some knots. What kind of knots do we need to untie? Number one, the first knot that we need to untie is a knot called cannot. Cannot. That's the first knot. I cannot. For example, there's some knots that you need to untie this morning. Number one, cannot. What I mean by cannot? I hear somebody saying, well, I cannot keep from that bad habit. I've got that bad habit and I just cannot keep from doing that. You need to untie the knot called cannot. Why? Because you can overcome that bad habit. You can be more than a conqueror in Christ. Here's the deal. Lady came up to me not long ago. I was at a church and she said, I need prayer. I said, all right. She said, Pastor, will you pray for me that I can quit smoking? And I went up to her afterwards and I said, before I prayed, I said, let me ask you a question. Do you really want to quit smoking? She said, no. And I said, well, then I'm not going to pray for you. I'm not going to pray for you. If you don't want to quit, don't ask me to pray, all right? You got to want to quit first. And speaking of that, somebody said D.L. Moody had a man to come up to him and say, Mr. Moody, if I chew tobacco, can I go to heaven? He said, yeah, you can, but you'll have to go to hell to spit, all right? You're going to have to go to hell, this street of gold, amen? But somebody said, you know, a preacher said, man, I just got a bad mouth. You know, I know today all the sitcoms and the usual chat today is flying words, cuss words. You know what I mean? And I'm not trying to be overbearing here, but you know when Jesus changes your heart, he changes your mouth too. I noticed when the Lord came in, the devil went out. Now, I'm not talking about perfection here, but I noticed today it's kind of the casual, normal talk to cuss like a sailor. What's the deal? You see, the Lord works on the inside out. Man works on the outside in. And you see, if we're not careful, we can be like an old trash can. When you knock a trash can over, what's in the can, what happens? It comes out. And a lot of the trash that's coming out from our mouths today is because our heart is not right with God. Jesus put it this way. It's not what goes in the mouth that defiles it. It's what comes out of the mouth that defiles it. And what comes out of the mouth comes from the heart. Let me ask you a question. What kind of mouth do you have? Are you going to come to the Lord's table this Thanksgiving? And are you going to make a choice to rejoice? Do you have, and I understand the enemy sometimes builds these strongholds in our life, but I want to tell you something. When Jesus Christ is enthroned in our heart, he changes our vocabulary, he changes our outlook, he changes our demeanor, he changes our mindset, he begins to transform us into his glory, into his image, because it's all of grace and it's for his glory, and he deserves to have the preeminence because he died for us and we're bought with a price and he loves us, and thank God he's come to give us life and give it more abundantly. I want to praise the Lord because he makes the difference in my life. He makes a difference in my life, and he makes a difference in your life too. I heard about a parrot that had a filthy voice and a filthy mouth. The owner said about the parrot, I'm going to teach that parrot a thing or two. And so the owner got that cussing parrot and said, I'm going to show him. Open up the freezer, threw him in, closed the door. A minute later, he opened the door. That parrot came out walking like a straight as an arrow. No cuss words, no filthy language. And the owner said, wow, what a transformation. He said, what made the difference? The parrot said, I took one look at that turkey and I wondered what he was in there for, all right? Change, we're talking about a change. Hey, look, cannot. Number two, what about not only cannot, but what about will not? There's some knots. Watch this. There's some knots. If we're going to come to the Thanksgiving, I'm talking to Christians today, okay? Not the lost Christians. If God would change us, then I'm convinced the world will be changed. What the world needs to see is Jesus in you and me.
And if we are not a testimony to the world, then I need to get my heart right with the Lord. And thank God Jesus said He'd forgive me my sins and come and live in me. Some of us today need to say, dear God, maybe I've been a stumbling block. Maybe I've been a poor witness. Whatever you got to do, Lord, I want to come to make a choice to rejoice when I sit at the Thanksgiving table. Y'all look up here. Some of you Thanksgiving, you're not even going to think about God. Not even think about God. Why? Because you're not thinking about God right now. And you need to think about God, because I'll tell you something. When you get to out into eternity, you better be thinking about God. Amen. It's appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Yes, today is the day of salvation. You might think you don't need God now. I've got news for you. You do need God, and you do need forgiveness, and you do need the grace of God in your life. And by the way, God's been good to me. Now, if He hadn't been good to you, you don't have anything to say, okay? If God hadn't been good to you, you can just sit there and say, I deserve everything I get. I'm a self-made man, I'm a self-made woman. But if there's somebody here that would say, God, I know I'm not worthy. I know I don't deserve Your blessings. I know, Lord, that You changed my heart. I know, dear Lord, I owe my life to You. You've been good. You've rained down blessings. You just keep pouring out Your benefits. I know, dear Lord Jesus, I am what I am by Your grace. By Your grace. You need to untie some knots? How about will not? I will not get out of debt. Untie that knot. Untie that knot. I will not get out of debt. Yes, you will, if you'll start appropriating biblical truths. We get ourselves in a mess. I understand. But listen, I love the book of Malachi chapter 3. Malachi is the Old Testament prophet. Here's what he says. He says this in regards to God's prescription for getting out of debt. Not only the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just, Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 22. But he said this, bring you all the tithes in the storehouse. They may be meeting my house. By the way, those of you that are questioning what is a storehouse, I believe it's a local church. And let me just go on record in case you're wondering. I believe in supporting other missions. Yes, I believe in supporting, those who are preaching the gospel, television and all. But y'all look up here. You know what's going to happen when you get sick and you're in the hospital? It's not going to be the preacher on television come to see you. It's going to be your local church going to come see you. I need some help. I need somebody to help me. It's going to be your local church. Matter of fact, Kathy Rayburn just sent me a card. Now's a good time to read it. Dear church family, words cannot begin to express my gratitude for all the love, prayers, food, phone calls, and lovely flowers that were sent to me during my hospital stay. I truly consider myself blessed to have such an amazing church family who not only shows love for my family, but I also put that love into action for all the world to see, and for that I will be forever blessed. Thank you again for being such kind and generous to us during this difficult time. Love in Christ, Walter and Kathy Raymond. Come on, let's praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That's what we're talking about. That's what we're talking about. Untie that knot or I will not. What about I will not find a relationship? You're here today and you say, how can I go to the Thanksgiving table? And some of you got needs, don't you? Some of you are looking for real love, aren't you? I'm going to tell you something. You will not find love until you find Jesus. Amen. He's the lover of your soul. You can check here. You think this guy's going to do it. You think this girl going to do it. Look at me. It ain't going to happen. They're not going to love you like the Lord loves you, because there's nobody can love you like Jesus loves you. Oh, I'm going to shout right there. Nobody can love you like Jesus can love you. He loves you with an unconditional love. He meets the need of our heart. He's the love of our soul. I love the Lord today. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I want the world to know I love Him because He first loved me. And He loves you too. Will not. Did y'all hear about a Japanese man, 35 years old? He works at a junior high school. I read it last week, November the 4th. Do you know what he did? He got married. Do you know who he married? Hold on to your seat. He married a computer. I'm telling y'all, a computer. C-O-M-P-T-E-R. Computer! He married a computer. Guess how many people went to the wedding? 40. 40 people were at this man's wedding. He married a computer. What in the world is going on?
I've got news for this young man, 35 years old, Japanese man. Computers get viruses too. I said, computers get viruses too. I said, computers get spam too. I said, sometimes computers, Becky, they black out. Can I get an amen? How many know that? I'll tell y'all. Paul said, that I would do, I find myself not doing that I don't want to do, I find myself doing. The closest I get in the flesh is when I've been working on that thing for 2 hours and the thing all of a sudden cuts out and I hadn't had it saved. Can I get an amen? If you think you are victorious in Christ, you just get on a computer and start working and you get all that work done and then all of a sudden you don't save and it cuts off. I guarantee that old flesh, you'll see that old ugly flesh of that old man wanting to rise up in you. Can I get somebody to say, yes, Pastor, I know. Maybe you don't work on a computer, but you get out there and try to crank that lawnmower and it won't crank. You'll see the flesh real quick. Amen. You will. You get in, well, y'all are so spiritual. Get in Atlanta traffic and you'll see the flesh operate real quick like I did on Friday night. How many of y'all like backseat drivers, all right? Y'all don't tell Deanna I said that. She's not in here right now. But I thought I was going to have to put her in the hospital Friday night with all the traffic going around. You better get in that traffic and run, or buddy, you're going to get run over. Can I get somebody to say amen? You'll get run over. Hey, look, will not. There's another knot that we need to untie. Not only cannot and will not, but what about do not? Let's untie that do not. If I'm going to come to the table this Thanksgiving, and if I'm going to make a choice to rejoice, I've got to untie that do not. What I mean, do not. Here's what I mean by that do not. I do not believe there's somebody you today. Listen. You, and I know the enemy is subtle. I understand he comes in like a flood. I understand he transforms himself as an angel of light. I understand, as Peter wrote, he walks about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And here's how that enemy works. He wants you to believe that God, that you will say this, I do not believe that that person I'm praying for is ever going to be saved. I do not believe that God can move this. How many believe God can move mountains? I want to draw your attention to my mountain moving God. Over there in the book of Mark, chapter 11, listen to what the Lord said. Have faith in God. Let's say that together. Have faith in God. One more time.
Have faith in God.
How many of y'all have faith in God? Have faith in God. Come to the table. Sit down and make a choice to rejoice. Why? Because the Lord said, if you just got seed, mustard seed faith, just a mustard seed, you say to this mountain, be thou removed, and this sycamore tree plucked up by the roots. Oh, yes, have faith in God. We used to sing that old song, Garrett, and the song, have faith in God. He's on his throne. Have faith in God. He watches o'er his own. He cannot fail. He must prevail. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Will you untie that do not? I do not believe. I do not believe that God can get me out of this mess. Untie that do not. But wait a minute. There's one more knot that we need to untie. If we're going to come to the table, and if we're going to make a choice to rejoice, there's one more knot. Not only the cannot and the will not and the do not, but number four knot is am not. We need to untie that am not. We need to untie that am not. I said, we need to untie that am not. What I mean? Some of you sitting here today and saying, I am not. I am not worthy to serve my Lord. Is there anybody here that feels worthy to serve the Lord? I don't feel worthy to serve the Lord, do you? I don't feel worthy to serve the Lord. But wait a minute. It's not about my worthiness. Listen to me. The Lord said this. He does not call the qualified, but he qualifies the call. You see, the world's heroes are God's zeros. And God's heroes are the world's zeros. Paul put it this way. You see your calling, brethren. How not many men after the flesh,
Not many noble are called, for God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, so that no flesh should glory in his presence, but of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according to as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. That's 1 Corinthians 1, verse 26 through 31. God says, it's not about your work. Listen to me. Some of y'all are saying, look what I've done. I can't serve the Lord. I want you to listen to me. It's not what you've done, it's what he's done. Amen. It's not, but look where I've been. It's not about where you've been. It's not about what you've done. It's the fact that Jesus came and lived a life without sin. And he died on the cross and he rose from the grave. And listen, beloved, he's coming again one day. And it's not about what you've done. And it's not about who you are. And it's not about how you feel. But it's about the Lord has called us. The Lord has equipped us. The Lord is training us. The Lord has called us for such a time as this. It is a privilege to serve my living God. Amen and amen and amen. It's life's highest privilege. Amen. It's life's highest privilege to serve the Lord. I'm telling you this. Look, Sumner said, serve the Lord with gladness. Let's say that together. Are you? Are you saying, it's Sunday night, I guess we got to go back to church tonight. I done gone to preaching now. I know they got this group coming, Eastern Sky. And I know it's Thanksgiving and all that, but I got a lot of things going on. Matter of fact, football game's going to be coming on this afternoon. And matter of fact, it's sunshiny outside. I think I'll take advantage of the weather. It's been raining all week, and I think I'll just go to the lake or to the woods or whatever else. And I'm not being negative or criticizing. I'm just saying, listen, folks, we want the blessings of God. We got to get in on the blessings of God. It's not legalism, brother. It's not legalism, sister. I know you're sitting there thinking, here they go again about this legalism. When you love Jesus, Jesus said, you're going to love him with all your heart. And look at me. There's no sacrifice too great for me or you to give for the one that gave his all for us. When you come to that conclusion, your life will be changed. It's no longer I about me and my, it's about him. That's our problem, isn't it? It's about me instead of him. It's about my convenience instead of what God's calling me to do. I'm not being negative. I'm not being critical. I love you. But you know what, beloved? Can I go on record as saying, y'all do realize over there in Hebrews 13, the Bible says one day I'm going to have to give an account. But what I've said, and as I've tried to encourage you, and I don't want to get off in the ditch. Sometimes I'm in a ditch, I admit. I love you anyway. But you know what blesses my heart? How many mamas and daddies we have here today? Don't you love it when your children are blessed? As a pastor, I love it when God's people are blessed. I want to see all of us blessed. Amen? I really do. And it breaks my heart. Breaks my heart when I take my eyes off the Lord or whatever. I know we're not. But watch. The blessings of God. The blessings of God. And by the way, I was sharing with somebody earlier this week. It's easy to take the blessings of God for granted. I'll tell you something else. And y'all think search my heart, Lord. And I want to have the right motives when I say this. New Rocky Creek isn't perfect, but I don't tell you, God's hand's on New Rocky Creek. And you just think the blessing, and God blesses the church, and then he blesses families. Some of the blessings that are coming our way are because God is honoring our life. If you don't believe that, read John chapter 12, where the Lord said, I will honor those who honor me. John 12, 25, I believe it is. And here's the deal. You can find other churches out there, but I'll be honest with you. Where God is operating, the anointing of God is operating, it makes a difference when the Spirit of God is operating. Not perfection, no, but where the anointing of God is present in a church, that's where I want to be.
All right, you think I'm wrong? Just go on out there and try. And try this and try that, and you'll see how your life goes and see how you plug in and see the blessings of God. See, there's a lot of stuff operating spiritually that we are not aware of. There's a lot of things that God does. Now, I know some of you have been sitting in church for a long time, and I know you're smart. I'm not questioning your intelligence, and I know you're saying, well, Pastor, I do this and that, and I read my Bible. Well, I'm just telling you the facts. So you just take it however you want to take it. I am not. Wait a minute. There's hope in the Lord. Will you come to the table this Thanksgiving day, and will you make a choice to rejoice? You know what I can do? I'll tell you what I'm thankful to God for. Here's what I'm thankful to God for. I'm thankful to God that, watch this, when I'm going through a difficult time, when I get discouraged, all I got to do is open up the Bible. And I can turn over there to Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Say that with me. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. Oh, yes, when I've got worry and when I'm feeling anxious, the benefits of God, I can turn over there to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25 through 34. And I can look over there in Philippians chapter 4 and verses 6 and 7. And I can say, praise God, I might be tempted to worry, but I read the words of our Lord and I see Jesus saying, look at the lilies of the field. Look at the birds of the air. They're not worried about where they're going to get their food. They're not worried about where they're going to get their clothes. Why are you worrying? Why are you worrying? Why are you worrying? He said, you're not going to add anything to your height. As a matter of fact, you're going to take away from your height. Oh, yes, you are. Maybe that's what's happened to me. Somebody say amen. Anyway, I'm vertically enhanced. Amen. But anyway, worry. When I'm worried, yes. When I'm afraid, when I feel lonely, oh, look, hey, I can turn over there to John 14. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'd go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. That where I am, there you may be also. Did you hear what I said? One of these days, we're going to go to the Father's house. I wish I had a time to pause right there. Let me just throw in a commercial break. I believe the pre-tribulation view, you know why? Here's why. If you believe that we'll go through the tribulation at the post-tribulation view, that means Christ comes again. That means there's no exit to the Father's house. That means we're coming right back to planet Earth. It don't make sense. Among other reasons why I believe the church will be raptured before the tribulation instead of after the tribulation. But I don't have time there. Lord willing, we'll elaborate on that at some other time. But I'm telling you this, hope in the Lord. Why? Because God said, if he spared not his only son, but he delivered him up for us all, how should he not freely give us all things? Romans chapter 8 and verse 31. And by the way, how many believe that the Lord's coming back one day? I'm telling you, we can sit at the table and make a choice to rejoice. Why? It could be today. I said it could be today. Today could be the day when the Father says, son, it's time to go get your bride. And the Lord steps out on the clouds of glory with a shout and the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. It could be today. There's hope in the Lord. Some of you today feel hopeless. Some of you today feel helpless. Some of you today feel like you need some healing. I want to tell you, you can sit down at the table this Thanksgiving and make a choice to rejoice because there's hope in God. Oh, yes, there's hope in the Lord. There's no situation too hopeless for our Lord. No, there's no situation too helpless for our Lord. And some of you today need hope. And I'm telling you, God is the God of all hope. You don't have to wonder. You can have that confident expectation. Number two, I've got to hasten because my time is quickly slipping around. Number two, not only will you come to the table and sit down and make a choice to rejoice, but notice this. Will you sit down at the table and notice, endure, because when the going gets tough, the tough get going. Here's the word patient right here. Notice what Paul says in Romans 12 and 12. He said, rejoicing with hope. And patient. Patient when? Patient when? Let's give Jim a hand. Amen. Thank you, Brother Jim. Patient in tribulation. What does that mean? Come on, this isn't a trick question. I want to take a survey. How many of you have got some challenges, some trials and troubles right now, and you're going through them? Okay, yep. Those that didn't raise your hand, you're lying. How long you had this trouble lying in church? Hello? But anyway, patient. What's the word patient mean? Hey, look, watch this. Thanksgiving! Why? Cause patient in tribulation. You're going through hard times. I know you are. You're going through hard times, aren't you? Your grandson just died. You're going through hard times, right? Oh, yeah. Your daughter just passed away. Becky, you're going through hard times, right? Exactly. And other needs in the body of Christ, we're going through hard times. Different things are happening. But watch, the word patience, hupomene, or hupomeno, is the word here used, which is the same as hupomene. It means to endure. It means to remain. It means to bear under. It means to persevere. Hey, look, listen to me just for a moment. And by the way, here's the word tribulation. Let me go ahead and point it out. Thlipsis. Thlipsis is the Greek word for tribulation. It means pressure. It means trouble. It means affliction. And pressure, you know what I mean? What constricts or rubs together. This is the technical definition of tribulation. Used of a narrow place that hemmed someone in. Do you feel hemmed in? There's some of you today that feel hemmed in. Oh, yes. But tribulation means especially internal pressure that causes someone to feel confined or restricted without option. There's some of us today, we need to get with God. There's some of us today, we got a heavy burden. There's some of us today that it seems like the enemy is trying to put pressure on us, and we don't see our way out, and we can't figure it out. We're not sure what's going to happen in the end, but I came to tell you today, hey, listen to me. Jesus said, in the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. How many of y'all know we don't have perfect marriages? We don't have perfect families. Can I get an amen? We don't have perfect families. We don't have perfect marriages. But we've always got victory in Jesus. And some of you today, Thanksgiving, you're going to go to the table with your lip poked out. Pout. Murmuring. Say that with me. Murmuring. See that old big old lip? Don't go to the table with your lip poked out. Murmuring. You can tell I got a lot of practice doing that. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, you need to get a life. You need to get a life in Jesus. I'm not trying to be funny. I'm telling you what honestly happens. I'm being as honest as I can be today. And here is the deal. We murmur. We don't have perfect families. We don't have perfect children. We don't have perfect grandchildren. But there's always victory in Jesus. Always victory in Jesus. Yes, there's always victory in Jesus. Adam said to God, wow, you gave me a wife, Eve. Woo, she's a knockout. God, why'd you make her so beautiful? God said, so that you'd love her. Then Adam said later, why'd you make her so stupid? God said, so she'd love you, all right? Hey, look, we don't have perfect families. Go ahead and get it out of the way. How many of you are going to get together with your family this Thanksgiving? Let me see your hand. You're going to expect perfection? You're going to be sadly disappointed. I can't hear you. See, your Thanksgiving's already ruined because you've gone in thinking your family's going to be perfect. They're not. I'm trying to help you, okay? I'm trying to help you. I want you to be blessed this Thanksgiving, and this is the mindset if we're going to have timeless truths during Thanksgiving. Number one, our children aren't perfect. We're not perfect. But wait a minute. And not only that, but God has not promised us that we won't go through troubles and trials, but He's promised this. He's promised us this. He said, I'm going to be with you through every step of the way. Isn't that good news? Oh, yes, it is. And by the way, the Lord, y'all look up here. The Lord has not promised us the bad things. He hadn't promised us the bad things don't ever happen to Christian people. Can I get amen? He hadn't promised us that bad things don't happen to Christian people. But He has promised us He would take the bad things and turn them into good.
I need somebody to help me there. You need to get out of that rut. You need to get out of that ditch. You need to get out of that prison and say, God, there's some bad things have been happening to me, but I believe all things still work together for the good to them that love the Lord and to them that are called according to His purpose. I'm going to bless you anyway, Lord. I know some bad things have been happening in my family and bad things have been happening with me, but God, You're a good God anyway. Amen. It's the way we're going to come to the table. I was preparing for the message this week. Telephone call. Hello? Brother Curtis Tucker just had a heart attack. They're taking him life flight to Piedmont Hospital. Pray for him. Shocked him four times. That is after he got to the hospital. A few days before that, telephone rings. Sheriff Donnie Pope, they're taking Chris Evans to the hospital. He's had a wreck on a go-kart. Pray for him. A couple of days after that, somebody's at Northside Hospital in Atlanta. They're dying. Pray for them. Come to the table. Make a choice to rejoice. Sit down and endure, because the tough get going when the going gets tough. I want to help you, H-E-P, help you, not help, but help you. Hope, endure, prayer. You got it? Hope, the Lord gave me this as I was studying this passage. Hope, endure, prayer. We're getting to prayer right now, and I'll be done. Hope, rejoicing in hope, patient. Patience means endurance. We just saw that a moment ago. And then prayer, continuing instant in prayer. I'm going to close on this in just a moment. Don't close your Bible. Prayer. I talked with a lady this week. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, don't close your Bible yet. Amen. Don't you love Brother Ronnie? Amen. Love you, buddy.
Love you, brother.
Hey, look. I talked with a lady this week. You know what she told me? She's in her 20s. She said, my husband and I moved in the area and we're looking for a church family. What you think? What y'all think? What would you tell her? What would you tell her? What would you tell her? I said, you found it. Hello? I don't know if they'll be here today or not, but they may be. Continuing in prayer, I went up to Northside Hospital, Atlanta, Wednesday. I went in a room, a man who's dying. What do you tell somebody that's dying? He's about 90 pounds or thereabouts, skin and bones, basically. I hadn't seen this man in about 5 years. What would you say? Would you pray for him? What can you say? I tell you what, it pays to pray beforehand. It pays to pray beforehand. Men ought always to pray not to faint. And as I had the privilege of going there to the hospital, Danny Brooks, I said, Danny, he's on, you know, medication. They diagnosed him with cancer of his esophagus last year. It's gone to his stomach this year. And it appears it's just going to be a matter of time. I want to know one thing. With all due respect, Danny, are you ready to meet God? Isn't that what matters? Are you? And I said, Danny, will you cry out to Jesus? Jesus loves you. Jesus died for you. Danny, kneeling down. Danny, called upon the Lord. A nurse was in the room. I said, Danny, I want to pray for you. Time was ticking. Tick, 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 tick. Time's ticking. I got an open window. It's a short window. It's an open door. Hey, look, you better walk through the door when you got it. Danny, called upon the Lord. call upon the Lord. Jesus said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, confess with your mouth, you can be saved. I prayed for Danny. I said, that Danny, now he's under medication, okay? He's not like us sitting here. He's been in a bed, been up at the hospital 20 days. And anyway, I said, Danny, call upon the Lord. Danny, I didn't know if he'd be able to call upon the Lord or not, but Danny, somehow, some way, God just moved on him. He said, God, in his own broken way, and this is what he said. He said, I need a turnaround, Lord. I believe you died. I believe you rose. And Jesus, I trust you. He said something to that effect. He said, and he began to call upon the name of the Lord. It was a blessing. I wish you could have been there. I was there. And I want to tell you, when he finished praying, I said, hallelujah. Hallelujah! Our Lord is still in the life-changing business. So pray for him, would you, Brenda? She came in the room as he was praying as a witness. He said, we both need to get things right. I asked her about her relationship with God. You want to make this Thanksgiving the best ever? Will you come to the table? Make a choice to rejoice? Will you sit down and endure, hanging tough when the times get rough? And then will you, number three, will you bow your head in prayer? Will you bow your head in prayer because of care? Let's stand up together, please.